Hello, this is Linus Torvalds, and I pronounce Linux as Linux. Actually, no, sorry, it's not Linus Torvalds. It's me, Mike Saunders, saying bonjour, grüß Gott, lado palo, and other greetings for this, the last podcast of the year. This is season 2, episode 24, and I'm also here with...
Graham Morrison.
And...
Andrew Gregory.
Excellent. And in this episode, we're going to deviate a bit from the normal formula. We'll have our regular sections, but we'll be looking back over the last 12 months of... a very busy, very hectic, very eventful Linux year. So if you love our podcast, then you'll love our magazine, Linux Format, that we make on the side when we're not making this podcast. And you can subscribe at tuxradar.com/subscribe. So then, the news, and the news of the last 12 months as we reach almost the end of the year. What has been the biggest, the most world-changing Linux event that's happened?
It's been actually just looking through all the podcast notes before we came and sat down here. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot going on.
It has, hasn't it?
It's been. I think that means that Linux is really doing well. I mean, not all of it is positive, but the fact that it's making so much noise, there have been so many splits, patent lawsuits, big updates, and quite shocking turnarounds of opinion that are. It's been a good year regardless of what any one particular story is.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the biggest event was came in August when Android overtook iPhone sales in the USA, and Android became the biggest selling smartphone OS. And this is just the start, you know. We're starting to see Android on tablets as well, and this is Linux at the core. This is
Linux wins.
Linux wins.
Effectively,
yeah.
Linux has won.
We've been battling on the desktop for ages, and there have been certain problems and limitations keeping it back. But this is perhaps where Linux is really going to shine. Perhaps the desktop battle was just something.
Quite a few people said that in our last podcast in the open ballot when we asked, "Is this the year of, or is next year going to be the year of Linux on the desktop?" A lot of people said it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This is next year is going to be the year of Android on little handheld devices.
Genuine. I mean, I meet people now who are running Android phones, and ask me about Linux and Android. They also ask me about Chrome OS, which I'm quite surprised at. So, you know, maybe that's got some momentum. But
I can see this sticking. The situation at the moment is you've got iOS on the flashy, expensive Apple gadgets. You've got Android, which is far more open and hackable and spread across multiple machines. So that's going to be the
for
standard.
For everyone else, effectively.
Yeah, for everybody else, and just the norm. And then Microsoft are having a horrendous time getting into the...
the mindset. I think they can't actually key in to what everybody's doing with their smartphones.
Exactly. I mean, they've made what looks to be a reasonable attempt with Windows Phone 7, but they're still talking about launching tablets with the full-blown Windows on, which is a horrendous experience. Yeah, the great big Windows 7 slate, so they don't have a clue. So,
I was having a conversation with somebody who's actually a .NET programmer just last weekend, and he was saying that the amazing downfall in Windows Mobile is that there's no SQL Server support for it, no SQL Server support for it whatsoever. So, in fact, him as a .NET Microsoft developer is looking at Android phones and even the iPhone in terms of building mobile solutions to the kind of stuff that they do.
Whoa.
Because they, as of yet, Windows Mobile 7 won't do it.
Oh.
Which is insane.
They don't support their own languages.
They've been so... It seems... Well, no, it's a database server. So there are lots... Windows Mobile in the past was great for engineers and people who were out there who needed a small kind of computer for doing things, accessing the same data set that they used back at the office. So it actually had a work kind of job as opposed to everybody just checking on their Twitter updates. And it's what's actually kept Windows Mobile going, because there are so many kind of proprietary applications doing that kind of thing. And none of those will work, and none of those can even be ported to Windows Mobile 7 until they sort this problem out. In fact, it's easier to port them to Android. Or you could use SQLite, for example.
Developers.
There's been so many. I think the big news story is Attachmate buying Novell. I think that's so much uncertainty. Novell has kind of gone... We've never really understood Novell's motivation, but second to that... We haven't heard much of it. It's Oracle and its Java lawsuit against Android, because that has a whole kind of devastating potential, you know, as Android grows, as we all think it might do. You know, it's yet to be realized what might actually happen, but I think that's massive news. And the other thing was Oracle... A good news story from Oracle releasing GlibC as truly open source, because
that could have been a massive
kind of sticking point for Linux... open source adoption? Had they not done it?
Oh, we just have to have stolen FreeBSD's libc or something like that.
Borrowed.
Yeah, borrowed.
So they're my picks of what's happened this year.
What do you reckon, Andrew?
Well, mine are both about money.
Money, lovely capitalism.
Because that's apparently what makes the world go round. Here it is. The London Stock Exchange switching to Linux, ditching Microsoft. The people who made that decision, or rather the men in suits, the money men, don't care about the difference between Linux and BSD and Windows and anything. They really don't care about freedom. They don't care about what language it's written in. All they care about is that it's better.
You're absolutely
right. They're not trying to save any money. They've got bags and bags of money. They want the best that money can buy. And what they've chosen is a Linux-based solution. And that's, you know, that just shows, well, it shows what we've all known for ages. But, you know, people with lots and lots of money to spend and invest on big computer systems are getting the message. So I predict for next year, actually, no, not for next year, I predict for maybe 2040 that the NHS may wake up to the fact that they don't need full-blown Windows on every single machine.
With Solitaire and WordPad.
Yeah, and the new Westbury helicopters probably won't need Windows either. So good work, people there. And the other money-related story was the news that the Humble Indie Bundles pay what you want scheme, where I can't remember the name of the games company now, but they offered five small games and on a pay what you want scheme, similar to what Radiohead did with In Rainbows back in the day, and it emerges that Linux users are far more generous. Well, not even generous. Linux users place more monetary value on decent games than either Windows users or Mac OS X users, which, you know, again shows that the money is there, the market is there,
the market share is there
for developers just waiting to tap into it. So next year, you know, get developing, release some Linux games.
Yeah,
we'll buy them.
Yeah, but you can't really blame Apple users for not giving us much. I mean, they've spent like £2,000 on a laptop, and they're buying all those Starbucks coffees all the time. and Steve Jobs designer clothing and black turtleneck.
That's true, yeah.
They don't have much money to give away.
It might be a bit late by the time this podcast goes out, because we're recording it slightly before ahead of schedule, so we can go out for Christmas lunch. But there's a Humble Indie Bundle 2. That unfortunately has got a time limit and finishes on the Thursday that this podcast is due to go out. But there's five more awesome Linux games for a pay-what-you-want fee available now. I can't remember them all. There's Osmosis, that's in the bundle. There's Machinarium, which we reviewed and really liked.
Oh, yeah.
And there's the three other brilliant games. So pay what you want, same philosophy. And when I checked this morning, Linux users who were buying the bundle were paying 30 or 40% on average more than Windows and OS X users. So it's the same theory is holding up.
Can we be absolutely sure that the typical Linux user spending more, or has one Linux user spent like £10 billion on this game?
That's how averages work, though. That's how we get you know, bizarre statements like, you know, the average salary in the UK is whatever,
is more than we all earn.
Well, it's time now for Discovery of the Week.
Or the year.
Yes. Discovery of the year. That makes it sound like it's going to be really, really good.
Oh, wow. I know, but it's not. That's not that awesome, is it?
I feel like we've really massively bigged it up there. What does it say here? YouTube. Oh, no, sorry, Mike, that's you. Mike, what have you discovered?
I think the best discovery that I came across is actually one when I wasn't here, when I was in Bavaria. But
lazy.
There's a reason for that. Clear head, you know, friends, you know,
fresh mountain,
nice beer. No computers. You didn't even take a computer, did you?
No, sorry, I mean, it's a discovery that one of you came up with while I was away.
Oh no!
It was in podcast episode in season 2, episode 12. Just when I'd headed out to the mountains. So, and it was something Paul found called the YouTube Comments Knob. This Firefox extension. Anybody?
Hang on, YouTube Comments Knob?
No, Snob.
Oh.
So, everything's all right. Yeah, so anybody who's been on YouTube knows that 99.9% of the comments are like, OMG, you Arte sucks. Or
that's the internet, isn't it?
No, it's just the internet, basically. But it's especially noticeable on YouTube comments and 50,000 exclamation marks and lol, I troll you and stuff like that. So the YouTube comment snob actually removes anything that is all caps or has no caps, no capital letters, or has 15 exclamation marks at the end, and basically narrows down the comments to stuff that, you know, regular human beings might say.
So then all you get is the we hate Americans comments.
Or the racist ones.
And the racist ones. Oh, great, that makes things much better.
So, yeah, that was a great discovery that I didn't discover, and I was too busy drinking Weiss beer, so...
Yeah, when I looked through the discoveries, I must admit there wasn't any massive standout. The one that I'm still using was one that I discovered back in episode 4, and it was the FATCH, P-H-A-T-C-H, batch image conversion tool, which is still cool because I still need to use that kind of stuff all the time. Drag and drop. It converts just a folder of images into lots of other images and you can resize it and do all that kind of stuff. It's cool.
Mm. That was way back in episode 4.
That was episode 4, yeah. So time. That must have been February.
My gosh, ages ago.
I also liked Mandelbulba, which was a 3D fractal generation program that you loaded it up and you could explore fractals just like they were kind of an infinitely complex cavern. So, cool. You know, it's all kind of 3D volumetric stuff. It took a bit of rendering, but you could kind of basically fly through things like it was the engine room in the Death Star.
Wow.
Which was cool. But they were, both my choices.
I like that. I too have two. The Mac Format podcast was...
They've stopped.
Yeah. Have they really?
Yeah.
Oh, and they got a new staff writer recently as well.
No stamina, no dedication to their valued listeners.
No. The word on the grapevine is that it's going to start up again in the new year. Well, reinvigorated.
But that's, fair enough. Fair enough. I'll give it a try again, maybe. And the other one was apt-get dist upgrade, which which saved my bacon when upgrading over the internet. I can't remember what version of Ubuntu I was going to, but it came up with all sorts of mental error messages. Mike, do you remember this?
Yeah, I've got to say, listeners, that there've been many instances in the last year when I've gone around to Andy's computer and there's just been a text terminal, no X, and a lot of error messages. And somehow he's sorted it out. So his leap skills are really developing. So good kudos to being able to fix completely broken Linux machines.
But you go from an error message saying, words to the effect of, this is too broken.
Just give up.
Cannot proceed, everything is broken. You know, and then a quick couple of commands after, and it's all fixed again.
And did you have to use force? I always end up typing like dash dash F into every command.
Oh yeah,
like,
dash dash no deps.
No deps, force, leave me alone.
Yeah. Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Just so that you can finish whatever it was you were working on and reinstall.
Yeah.
So you can finish that email to your mum.
Damn my Amazon order. Oh, I had another one, but I've realised I put it in the other category, and it was Andrew's discovery that the FAQ at GNU.org is longer than the United States Constitution.
It's not just the FAQ for the whole GNU site. It's the GNU/Linux FAQ, isn't it? All questions about why it should be called GNU/Linux.
Why should call it, where that GNU/?
Yeah.
Those four characters are invested with more importance than the constitution of the largest group. Oh, dear me.
Yeah, so that was a great discovery.
Although maybe they've made amendments to the GNU/Linux FAQ since then. Who knows? They'll have to go and...
Probably to include things like TiVo and stuff like that.
Magia.
Yeah.
I don't know. My dad said once, the larger the rule book, the worse the organisation. I think there's something
wise
in that.
Words.
Something in there, Dad.
Mm.
Nice work.
Good work, Andrew's dad.
Yeah, my old snooker club used to have a rule book about the size, 3 inches thick. That says everything you need to know about my old snooker club.
Was that just for the rules of snooker? Is there the Midland
rules
snooker?
Rules of conduct.
Oh, I see. Like not chalking over the
tables. All that kind of, not drinking, not smoking over the tables. No women allowed.
Really? Yeah. Wow, it's proper working.
Proper old school. I've not been back for 10 years, so they may have...
Since you had your sex change.
Yeah, to a man. But,
there'll just be a massive 72-inch TV there now blaring out Sky Sports all the time, if it's anything like my snooker club in Ulverston.
So. Yeah, they were like that anyway, yeah. Mm. Right, and moving rapidly on, we're going to talk about our favourite You Dare Us challenges.
Oh, wow.
Now, this has been really good. I mean, I was actually spoilt for choice. I mean, you guys must have been the same. But shall I talk about my first?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, the highlight really was Paul's Pink Pony remix. I think that was the best. I think I might put it onto the end of this podcast, you know, just so people could hear how much effort Paul put into that, because that was brilliant. It was so funny.
Maybe we can release it as a charity single.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you reckon we can get a Facebook group together to get it to Christmas number one?
Ahead of John Cage.
It'd be good to hear it again. I've not listened to it again. I just, you know, it's stuck in my mind. I think we all had to write a piece of music for that challenge.
Yeah, we did. So I used Soundtracker to do a fugue, I remember.
Yeah, I failed completely.
I used LMMS to do something repetitive, but yeah, Paul didn't tell us what it was. We didn't, none of us knew until we were all sat around here recording the podcast live and he played it back, so it was hilarious.
That must have been way back in March.
It was
March,
six. Or... I've written down here it was episode six.
Right, it'd probably been March, April then, I guess.
So yeah, I thought that was great.
It was good.
How about you two?
I can't remember whether it was from this year or last year, but when we all had to use KDE.
That would have been this year. I think You Dare Us was just for season two, right. Yeah.
Well, that sticks in the mind because I really didn't mind it.
Well, that's not what you said at the time.
No, but I used KDE 3.x.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yes.
And you know, I really didn't understand what all the fuss was about. We get so much hate for KDE and also so much love for KDE.
Yes.
And denial that there's anything wrong with it, which is absurd. Nothing is perfect. And it just worked. It made perfect sense.
KDE is kind of close to 3.5 these days.
Is it there? Will this be the year of KDE on the desktop? Almost.
I think, you know, 2011 might be the year of KDE because GNOME is looking to be kind of fragmented and a little bit, they're taking a big gamble with their new paradigm and Ubuntu effectively ditching the front end, but I'm sure we'll talk about that later.
It could be. Yeah, I was just going to mention, just for a couple of minutes of up-to-dateness, Graham and I tried the Ubuntu Natty Alpha 1 yesterday, what will become 11.04, and I first booted it up in VirtualBox, and it said, you've got no 3D graphics, so we can't run Unity, so we're going to ditch you back to the normal desktop. Now, you were saying this is the way it's going to be, right?
Yes, because it's going to use Compiz as default for its 3D effects and for its compositing and for all those scrolly window effects, whereas before it used Clutter. But Clutter was a performance bottleneck. So
in a single Ubuntu disk, there are two possible, quite different desktops that you could end up with, depending on if it detects your graphics chip. Now, people write in Ubuntu documentation and books. I did. I wrote an Ubuntu book.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
What's that called?
It's called a Haynes Linux Manual.
When is it available?
Five
shops?
Star. It's rated by UNESCO as the best book ever written. But so if you're writing a book about Linux, about Ubuntu, you say, well, if it just so happens to set your 3D card, follow pages 10 to 100. If not, follow pages 100 to 160, because you're going to have a radically different desktop layer. And then it doesn't always detect anything and dumps you at text mode. This is profoundly, phenomenally bad for Linux.
Completely different desktop.
Yeah, in one distro. I mean, we've got enough problems with desktop fragmentation, but if one distro is just going to arbitrarily give you two different desktops, depending on if it detects your card. But anyway, that's something we'll no doubt be horrified about next year.
Yeah, I have got it written down I've got it written down as one of my open ballot events, so
right.
I might talk a bit about it then. You Dare Us?
Yeah, I mean, for me, my favourite was the game writing challenge when I did VizBooks, the Pi game shoot 'em up, because it was a real refresher for Python for me. I hadn't done anything for a couple of years, and I learnt more stuff on the way as well, and we hoped you liked listeners.
Yeah, I mean, I really, really liked that too. We all got into it, all three of us actually. It took us a while. I was including Paul. Yeah, yeah. We never actually saw the results of Andrew's hard labor.
It's amazing.
I'm sure it's still on.
I think Andrew's game is going to be the next frontier. It's going to be that good.
I had help from Ian Bell.
Brilliant. Are you going to sue David Brabham? Is that simply what you've got to do?
No, the cricketer Ian Bell.
Oh. Even better.
Yeah, he showed me some good star systems.
Helped you with the physics Empire. Engine.
Helped you pronounce larvae.
A few years ago, I emailed David Brabham to ask if the system in Elite called Lave was pronounced Lave or Larvae. And he emailed me back.
I emailed Ian Bell on exactly the same day.
Did you get the result?
Yeah, it was a blog post, wasn't it? A Linux format blog post.
Right.
Paul said something about how these things were pronounced, and you and I decided that we'll email them both and ask them. You email Brabham, I email Bell.
It was amazing when I got a response from Brabham, because this is the guy that wrote like 65,000 lines of assembly code to make Frontier, which had taken up so many months of my youth. And I got this message back from it. And then terribly, terribly, about 6 months ago, I did a purge of my inbox. I deleted like, I've got 3,000 mails in there. Yeah. So I deleted like the last 1,500 mails and press releases and general nonsense. But of course, I forgot that the Brabham email was tucked in there, and I feel terrible now. And I'm going to commit harakiri immediately after the podcast.
What he essentially said about lave is still on the Linux format blog.
Oh, right.
So it's still there. We both said what Ian Bell and Brabham had told us.
Well, cool.
They're both different, I think. I can't remember. I think Brabham said lave and Bell said larvae or something. I don't know.
I'm sure they're settling different. This in court at the moment, right?
Yeah, because I said to Bell, Brabham says this. And he was like,
Andrew uses KDE. So, yeah, the games were fun.
They were great. Yeah, they were great.
Shame we didn't get more feedback about them, but nonetheless.
That's the way it goes.
And with such wonderful cynicism, we are at roughly the halfway point of this podcast. Still to come is somebody's going to be in the hot seat. We don't know who yet. We're going to have to spin more merry wheels.
A subsidiary disc.
Yeah, in order to determine who then has to spin the other disc to determine the subject matter.
Like a wheel within a wheel, like a spiral in a circle.
It's getting confusing, listeners. And we also have the results of the open ballot, which was more a kind of opinion soliciting exercise this issue. But we want to know what you listeners thought was the biggest Linux event in 2010. And now, in the hot seat, and we're a bit Linuxed out at the moment, so let's do something more festival.
Yeah, we've got rid of everything off the board.
Pretty much. There's just now grub and snow left on the wheel. So
Andrew's only just written snow. I just heard him write.
you probably heard that too, listeners. Yeah. So.
I'll keep my mum down.
Well, if you know what that meant, please leave a comment.
What's that?
Yeah.
From the classic album, 12 Inches of Snow.
Oh, is that what it's called?
See what he done there.
The mystery is solved. So, who is the victim? It must be Graham.
It was me last time.
You innocent.
Yeah, and Mike did it, and I did it rather okay.
So it's Graham, and you're either going to talk about grub or snow for the final hot seat
of the
2010.
Year.
And who knows? Maybe this section won't even return next year. So this might be the final hot seat ever. So better make it a good one. Should we spin the wheel?
Okay, let's put some jingle bells on there.
I'll put some baubles on the.
Yeah, that's very nice. Okay,
let's go.
Oh, grub,
grub, grub, grub, grub, grub, snow, snow. It is snow. So
I don't know which is worse.
Well, you have got 1 minute to talk non-stop without even breathing.
Okay,
about the joys of snow. Starting in 3, 1, go.
Snow, there used to be a lot more snow when I was a lad. When I was about 7 or 8, the schools would be closed for months and I'd be able to go to the hill at the end of our road and go down it on a toboggan. In fact, a friend and I built a toboggan in woodworking class at school, but unfortunately nobody told us how to build a toboggan. So it was far too heavy, so that after like weeks and weeks work, we waited for the first bout of snow, took it up to the top of the hill, sat on it, and it just didn't go anywhere, despite the fact that everyone else was bombing down on bags and those red plastic sledges. I used to live in the French Alps, where there used to be like a meter of snow almost every week, and when there was a good bout of snow, I used to get my snowboard and go out and snowboard down in the local ski resort, which was about 10 minutes away. And I always used to like games with lots of snow in. There used to be Christmas compendium games, which I used to like, you know, Christmas versions of cannon fodder, where everything's turned, all the green has turned to snow, and it used to get me in the Christmas mood. And Sid music for snowy kind of season is really, really fun. And I really like the snow, and I hate First Great Western because they're always late.
Funnily enough, I hate First Great Western too. And it's nothing to do with snow. They're just rubbish. Oh, that
no,
was...
No, you can't criticise... You can't just blanketly say that company is rubbish.
Oh, they're rubbish because they're slow, expensive, dirty.
My train has been late almost every day, both in the morning and the evening, for about 2 weeks now.
Really?
Yeah.
But for legal purposes, we must point out that all the trains that Graham hasn't got are probably like the best trains in the world.
Other train companies are available, but you can't take them to London because there's only one train service, which is a monopoly.
Mike is genuinely getting angry.
Okay, I'm just going to calm down about that. That was brilliant, Graham. That was fantastic. Yeah, yeah. I used to have one of those red plastic sledges as well. And there did used to be more snow. And
our sledge was awesome. We even got some galvanized steel and put it on both of the bits that hit the snow, whatever you call those.
Whatever happened to your 20-ton toboggan?
I don't know. I think Mark might still have it.
Cool. Perhaps maybe. You can...
It had a lot of wood. You could burn it and, you know, you could live off winter burning off.
It's now time for the nominally open ballot. It's not really, is it a ballot?
I don't know.
It's just some questions, isn't it?
Yeah. So we wanted to know what you thought was the biggest Linux event in 2010.
I think it was really good reading through the response to this question because there are so much positive things.
Lots
so many
of variety
positive,
as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it reminded me of things.
I felt really good about Linux and the state of free software after reading. I really mean that. You know, it was great. Everybody chose such diverse subjects, mostly.
Yeah. And all credits to Rush Home Ruffian, who who inserted a smashing... Oh, actually, no. I'll let as a listener challenge, how many Smiths references? how many Smiths references did Rush Home Ruffian include? He headed the post, his latest flame. Rush Home Ruffian says, "Stop me if you think you've heard this one before, but frankly, Mr. Shankly, this year Google proved that money changes everything, which caused many mobile users to oscillate wildly between Android and the unlovable iPhone. Indeed, shoplifters of the world united in Apple stores everywhere, causing panic, especially in London, where the iPad was launched, and desperate hemorrhoid sufferers mistook the name for a nice comfy rubber ring. Some people even declared 2010 the year of Linux on the desktop, but Tux, you just haven't earned it yet, baby."
That is probably the best comment of all time.
The rubber ring reference? I don't get that one.
Oh, back of the class.
Sorry.
Graham, you usually write the lugs pages, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Well, two comments here. One from Stuart, who says, "Well, for the UK people, we had a great time in Liverpool at Og Camp." And one from Toowoomba Linux says, "G'day. Personally, it's been creating the Toowoomba Linux community."
Cool.
Well, that sounds good. I know we did something on Og Camp. There was this fantastic response from what we'd heard from people who went to Og Camp. Maybe we should go there next
year. Yeah, but I think, because I just assumed it was something about music generation and free music software, but it's actually all about freedom and free software, public domain, Creative Commons.
Yeah. I thought it was just really... niche and not really worth going up to Liverpool, but it does seem quite a...
But that's what happens when you call it an odd camp. It's a bit like calling it, you know, dot zip camp, dot BZ2 camp, you know.
Windows camp.
So that you could go to Liverpool and on your way to the frozen north.
That's true. Next time I'm heading into the bleak, desolate north.
Save some pennies. You could get work to pay to get you halfway to see your mum and dad.
Wow, so I wouldn't actually die of depression on the train. Excellent.
Who's this clever chap here? DM319.
Rolls off the tongue.
Absolutely. Has had the thought this year that the best thing... was maybe discovering that most of the software CERN uses to process their huge experiments are open source, or maybe it was the kudos that Linux got when the London Stock Exchange switched from Windows to Linux and instantly got improvements in speed and reliability. What a clever chap.
Yeah,
Well, so is the Large Hadron Collider running on Linux?
Yeah, it is actually. I remember thinking that. Remember when they did photographs of the labs with all the screens showing, you know, beautiful 3D graphics of what's been going on? You could see they're all Linux desktops.
Oh, you saw like plasmoids and golf on there.
I think somebody mentioned Avatar. Somebody mentioned the fact that Avatar would be actually secretly rendered on the Linux farms.
Yeah, that was Linux Meister who says, the film Avatar was rendered on a whole bunch of Linux Blade servers running Ubuntu, as well as Linux workstations with some apples thrown in. The software tools used were both open source and proprietary. You didn't hear anything about it
because of the powers that be.
Yes,
now, that was the interesting thing, because I was told at the Qt Developers Conference where Soft Images uses Qt, and lots of people are creating, I mean, Disney Studios and lots of other studios are using Linux as render farms and as the front end, and none of them want to talk about it. None of them want to give their competitors the edge by telling people what it is that they're using and how they're using it.
Oh, so has it taken Julian Assange to leak all this information out then?
You know, so, you know, it's fascinating that a blockbuster like Avatar uses Linux and we don't really cover it or don't really know how to cover it or can't cover it.
Why can't they just put a big tux at the start of the film? That'd be great.
Yeah, yeah. If it was MS or Apple, you would, wouldn't you? You'd be proud to put like a little logo at the end or whatever. But
well, yeah, they'd pay to get the free advertising, wouldn't they?
Well, I guess if people know that you've used Linux in creating Avatar, then there's nothing to stop the studio down the road from downloading your source code.
Your film is under the GPL. Yeah. And Richard Stallman can prepend it with GNU.
There's another interesting couple here from Mel and Harry Selden. Mel says, I believe it's Ubuntu's Compiz-based Unity and the new GNOME shell that looks pretty much like Unity. Harry Selden says, moved to KDE completely when I told my wife that the new computer would have a slightly different look back in 2006. We made the final switch to Linux all at home. At the time, I chose Ubuntu. With the release of KDE 4, I've been meaning to switch the home computer to KDE, but the look was drastically different. Some words deleted. I am very glad that I'm all KDE now. The four-year-old computer runs it wonderfully. So there we go. And he's moving to Ubuntu.
Yeah, I've got a little list of things that I choose, and definitely KDE 4.5 is the high point so far in the version 4 development. It's usable, it's brilliant. And also I'd written the switch to Unity, which we were talking about before, because I don't know whether it's good or bad, but it's a big piece of news. You know, it's an earth-shattering thing for Ubuntu to be doing, Canonical to be doing. I think it's very, very risky, and I don't really understand it.
No, I mean, at this stage, okay, so it's Ubuntu is on the Alpha 1 at the moment, but we were looking at yesterday, and it seems couldn't work out how to add anything to the panel, and its behavior was really strange.
It was far less functional, as we were talking, than the previous version that came on the Ubuntu Netbook edition back in 10.10, which, because of clutter, presumably had things like a spotlight-like search for launching applications, a whole applications launch menu that could be filtered by category, which made much more sense than what effectively we've got is a copy of Apple's, can we say copy? Like a something that looks very similar to Apple's dock for launching applications and for showing from what's running and to get to a right-click menu.
Yeah.
You know, that's all it seems to be.
Yep, Eric Messer also says KDE 5.
KDE 5?
KDE
4.5.
KDSC 4.5.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a KDE user, it finally means you can kind of come out of the closet again and say, well, I'm actually being productive with my desktop.
Yeah. Anonymous Penguin also says that he likes KDE 4.5 this year, but we can't mention him.
Okay.
Because of his anonymity.
Ooh.
But we can give a big shout out to Neil Bothwick.
Hey!
Not verified.
Merry Christmas, Neil.
Hello, Neil. It has to be Odd Camp 10 in Liverpool. Met lots of new people, learned lots of new things, drank lots of not-so-new beer. A perfect weekend.
We should have got Neil to write something about it.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was going.
No. No, he didn't tell us.
Well, anybody can turn up, apparently.
Yeah.
There's no ticket system or reservation, anything. They reserve a huge, big hall.
But it's an unconference, isn't it, where they kind of make it up as they go along.
Right, so there's no even set schedule.
Head in the clouds, feet on the ground. That's all right. I know nothing's wrong.
Head in the clouds and a mouthful of pie.
Wow, that sounds like my dream. Sounds like the ultimate dream. More from the internet.
Hello, internet.
Specifically, the tuxradar.com bit of the internet. Bananumerang says that probably the biggest Linux event for him was that we're finally dropping X for Wayland, which I have been saying we should do for a while now. And the fact that Compiz++ is default in Natty Narwhal along with Unity. I followed Compiz closely for a long while now, and now this is happening, I am really happy.
Yeah, it is. I love Compiz too. I think it's great. But for the reasons that we said before, the fact that if you can't get Compiz running, you drop back to a totally different desktop is bizarre. Wayland, brilliant. I really hope it works. It could be awesome.
It probably will be awesome, won't it?
Probably. I mean, with Fedora behind it, yes. They're very good at doing that kind of thing.
If Ubuntu and Fedora both think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
We all know how awesome Fedora are at cool new technology.
Yeah.
In fact, I must switch to Fedora this year.
Well, you know, you could have a couple of distributions. I at the moment, I've got Ubuntu at the office and Fedora at home. Well, I did have Mandrake.
My machines are very small. They won't fit anything more than macOS on. Cool. Sadly. Awesome. Oh, no. Sorry, Awesome Penguin. No, Awesome Pingu.
Hey.
Awesome Pingu. Good effort. Says, what could be bigger than Linux gaining a dominance over Apple on the mobile market? Around here, brackets, Sweden,
Svenska.
Almost everyone has an HTC Desire, a Sony Ericsson X10 Mini or other.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
So, Sweden, not all about extraditions. Right.
Okay. Cool. So, we come to the end of the final podcast of the year.
Yes.
Oh.
I'm rubbish at this. You were much better at interjecting in these one more thing bits. And also, my one more things aren't half as much fun. I mean, last episode we announced that there was a staff writer position at the magazine, which will be fun, but it's not as exciting as finding out how many thousands lines of the kernel mention the word oops. but this one more thing is, we'd like your feedback on the podcast. We'd like to know which sections you think work, which sections you think we should drop, and if you have any better ideas for sections you'd like us to include in 2011 when we come back for Series 3, let us know. We will do it. We'd like to hear what you think, and we'd like to make the podcast even better, if that's possible.
Yeah, well, I mean, this year we introduced the...
hot seat.
In the hot seat, and You Dare Us. Those were two new sections that we put into season two. So we're willing to change and expand and adopt and twist around. So if you've got any great ideas, listeners, then let us know. We'd love to hear them.
Yeah.
Have fun. Have a good Christmas and
thanks
New Year, everyone.
Thanks for listening all year.
And we'll see you in 2011. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
$1 billion, 1,000 people, 16 terabytes, 20 trillion different combinations of hardware. $1 billion, 1,000 people, 16 terabytes.
I can't really see it taking off.
Pink Pony is Tron with ponies. Pink ponies. Pink ponies, naturally. Pink Pony is Tron with ponies. Pink ponies, naturally. $1 billion.
KD4
is evil.
KD4
is mad.
KD4
is dead easy to use.
Yeah. KD4
is evil.
KD4
is mad.
KDE is fantastic. Just use KDE, idiots. Really convoluted.
And it's not running on the herd. $1 billion. TWF.
And now it's time for the news.
Packages.
Packages. Packages. Packages. Why? I discovered Herd NG. I discovered Herd NG. Pink ponies, naturally. Pink ponies. Why? I discovered Herd NG. I discovered Herd NG.
Is it evil or is it not? Mad, crazy world.
Contrary to popular wishes, we haven't all given up our day jobs to become a Jackson 5 tribute band.
And it's not running on the herd.
I want to preserve my elite herd status.
Contrary to popular wishes, we haven't all given up our day jobs.
Sending penguins to jail. Really?
I do like mono.
Really? Really? Linus is such a celebrity.
Mad, crazy world.
Mono.
Mono.
No?
Never.
Kibibite. Ponies.
That's what I initially thought. It didn't make any sense.
Let's do it for maximum comedy impact and save Mankey Monkey to the end, shall we?
I discovered Herd NG. I discovered Herd NG. Pink ponies, naturally. pink ponies.
Why?
I discovered Herd NG. I discovered Herd NG.
Is it evil or is it not? Mad, crazy world.
T-shirts, stickers, mugs, hats.
I'm not wearing a hat.
He's that good.
Oh, yeah.
Idiot.
As is my right as boss of this mini section,
just use KDE. That's why my Spectrum had 512k.
Paul, what have you got?
Think of the penguins.
Sounds great. Paul, what have you got?
Sponsor a penguin.
That's a kind of separate issue.
Which is obviously conclusive proof that Microsoft loves us and wants us to be happy.
Ponies, ponies, DWM. I discovered Herd NG. I discovered Herd NG. Pink ponies, naturally. Pink ponies.
Why?
I discovered Herd NG. I discovered Herd NG.
Is it evil or is it not? Mad, crazy world.
KDE is fantastic.
I personally haven't touched it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I can't really see it taking off.
How many more package managers do we need?
Fork you.
I've installed the Herd and it's graphical and it's great.
There is one more thing.
As I seem to be playing the role of devil's advocate, I'm going to say no.
Life just doesn't work like that.
Suck it down, losers.
Why?
You know, I've been thinking about it these last few minutes.
I think it's really bad.
I discovered Herd NG. I discovered Herd NG. Pink ponies, naturally. Pink ponies.
Why?
I discovered Herd NG. I discovered Herd NG.
Is it evil or is it not? Mad, crazy world.
Join us now and share the software. You'll be free hackers. You'll be free hackers.